to turn to Psalm 116. I'll read the psalm in its entirety, focusing mainly on verses 12 and 13 in my message. This being the Word of God, let us hear it. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low. He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts and minds. Once again, we thank thee, Lord Jesus, for bringing us together, for the opportunity we have to see one another and fellowship a bit, to pray before our God, to praise thy holy name, to hear your word in your presence and in the presence of your people. Again, Heavenly Father, thank you for this grand opportunity that we are given today. Bless your word to us now, for it's in your name, the name of Jesus, we pray. The keynote of this psalm, Psalm 116, is, I love the Lord. And from that love flows the rest of the psalm, but flow our verses 12 and 13. I love the Lord, therefore I'm inclined to render unto him thanksgiving and gratitude for the blessings, the benefits that he has towards me, that he's given to me. I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Again, because he loves the Lord, he wants to render something to him for all the benefits that he had been given. Also, he will take up the cup of salvation, and he will call upon the name of the Lord out of love. You see, we need to remember that our perspective is not God's, right? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So in order for us to appreciate Him, to appreciate what He's telling us in His Word from Genesis through Revelation, we have to gain His perspective. And once we have that perspective, a right perspective, we begin to understand the Scriptures in the right way. You see, people, a lot of people, and Christians included, have a wrong perspective of God. They think, we think, and this is our nature, we all are guilty, we tend to think that God does think like us, that God's ways are our ways, or much like our ways, that he's like me, he's not human, he's bigger than human, but he's like a human. And he's not. God is not a human being, right? God is a spirit. Heaven itself cannot contain the whole entire presence of God. He's greater than anything. God is God. There is nothing like Him. Nothing can contain Him, including heaven itself. I've mentioned this to you before. What are we going to see in heaven? How are we going to see God? We're going to see God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're not going to see God Himself in His entirety. It's impossible for a creature to do. So when we pray to God, I like to think lately of a prayer closet that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Go into your prayer closet, close the door, talk to the Father in secret, and He will reward you openly. I like to think of God as blessing me when I do that. When I listen to the word of Jesus, who knew the Father, who is God the Son, but knew the Father well, better than anyone. And if you want to get God's perspective, you have to go into your prayer closet, speak to Him privately, and He will bless you openly. How? By giving you His perspective. And looking upon His Word, we see that it's love of God is the motivation why I render to Him anything, why I take the cup of salvation, why I call upon the name of the Lord. It's because I love Him. It's not because I'm trying to merit His favor. It's not because I want a pat on the back. It's not because of anything about me. It's about Him. And once we gain His perspective, then we begin to understand not only this scripture, but all the scriptures. And that's why so many Christians are off when it comes to understanding what the Bible... Forget about the world. I mean, no, the world's going to disrupt the scripture, going to pervert it or twist it. That's what perversion means, twist. They're going to twist the scripture to satisfy what they think and what they want. But no, we want God's perspective. And so I'm not doing anything in my life, anything at all, for me. I'm doing it for Him. Now, it's not true. I grant you that. I do things for me, and I am selfish. And I am prideful, and it is sometimes, in some days, me, 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 I. Yes, that's true, but that's not God's perspective. That's not the perspective that He's given me in His Scripture. He says, love me, and whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do it all for my glory, or don't do it. anything that's done, anything at all that's done without faith is sin. Right? And so the scriptures chime together to give us a perspective. And when we see in what we see in the psalm, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a messianic psalm. It's about Him. And we can hear Him, you know, praying. Because Jesus, well, He didn't have some place to go like we do, and a prayer closet or room where we shut the door and talk to God. But He did speak to the Father all the time. He went up into the mountains and to various places, and He prayed. The garden and all that. And He spoke to the Father. He went off alone, right? He spoke to the Father. That's what going into the prayer closet. To privately speak to your Father. And that's what the Lord did. And we can see the Lord Jesus Christ praying, speaking to the Father, for example, in verse 2, the sorrows of death compass me, the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ pray like that or speak like that? Again, this is a messianic sound. It's because from the day He was born till the day He arrived at Calvary, to the cross, on the cross, Golgotha, the shadow of the cross loomed overhead and became greater and greater, that dark shadow overhead, over His head, because He was well aware that that's where He was going. And so you can hear, you can perceive Him saying, the sorrows of death compass me, the pains of hell, because He's going to suffer the equivalency of a hell for His people. And so we hear Him prayer. We hear part of His prayer. Some of the words that He may have spoken along the ministry, along the way, and especially in the 3 years of ministry in Palestine, He must have said these words at some point. Maybe even to His disciples, praying with His disciples. But certainly on His own, by Himself, in the mountain area, or wherever He may have been, praying that way. And I called upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, beseech Thee, deliver my soul, and He's gracious. You can see just how the words progress as He prays the prayer, the Lord's, His Father's answering Him, and He's perceiving it as such. And then on the cross, we hear, of course, of Him saying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Because He had become sin for His people. And the Father poured forth His wrath upon His own Son to consume Him to death and to dying. And equivalency of hell, the torment of Jesus in the soul. Oh, my soul. My soul is sorrowful. Pangs of hell upon me. It was very real to Him. And He did it all, as you know, dear brothers and sisters, for us. All for us. So that we too can identify with the psalmist here and say, gracious is the Lord, righteous is our God, full of mercy is He. He has heard my prayer, my cry, and He's answered me in the blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. He has brought me my soul, my core, the core of my being, relief, like no one else can. He did it. And so we can pray this prayer as well. because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's interesting that this psalm comes across in three parts to some in the Reformed camp. They point out that it sort of speaks to what the Heidelberg Catechism says when it asks the question, what comfort have I in my body and my soul in life and in death? And the Heidelberg answers that in three parts, just as it sort of breaks this psalm in three parts. And it answers, I know the comfort that I have in my body and soul in this life and in death is I know the depth of my misery, the wonder of my deliverance, and the gratitude to God for it. I know that I'm a sinner. I've gotten God's perspective on that. I sort of put on His glasses. And I have seen in the Scriptures myself as a terrible sinner. The Heidelberg points out, the confession points it out very, very succinctly. And it sounds terrible, but it's our nature. It points out, it says, by His grace, I see that I cannot keep a single one of God's commandments, but on the contrary, I'm prone by nature, my own nature, born this way, to hate God and even my neighbor. I am wicked and perverse. My nature is depraved. In one word, I am so corrupt that I am wholly incapable of any good and inclined to all evil. My God caused the sorrows of death to compass me and the pangs of hell to take hold of me. I learned to know my sin, my guilt, my hopeless, lost condition, my misery as a chief sinner. The confession points this out, that the grace of God allows me to see this and to accept it. Most people won't accept that. I talked about this last time, about total depravity. Most Christians, and they are Christians, but they reject total depravity. They see that, no, there's some goodness in us all. And in fact, so far as to say with the world that man is basically good. Fundamentally, he is good. He wants good, and God loves him for that. But that's not what our Reformed confessions or our standards say at all. It says that the grace of God has opened my eyes and given me a little peek, if you will, at God's perspective and the way He sees me. And God sees me as a perverted, corrupt sinner through and through, from my conception to my death. There is nothing good about me in His sight. But by that same grace, it's pointed out that I cried to the Lord, not once, but repeatedly and many times, O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. And He heard me and delivered me. He delivered me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay, setting my feet upon a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ alone. So that same grace that allows me to see that I'm such a sinner allows me to see that I have been rescued and set apart, put on a rock, a solid rock of confidence in Jesus Christ. Add to this He gives me a song of thanksgiving in my heart by that grace, right? That there's that three-part harmony, if you will, the depth of my misery, the deliverance from it, and now the gratitude, the thanksgiving for it. All by the grace, all the grace of God. The perspective, if you will, I like to say, the perspective that I have been given by God to see all of this. And I am thankful. And I know you are too, right? Because you have heard this before. And you have wrestled with it, no doubt. And you have heard contrariness. We're not so bad. We're not so miserable. We're not so delivered. We're not so... No. Listen to what our Reformed fathers and mothers have said and have believed and have shed their blood for. Given God's perspective on things. And so I am thankful every day. I realize that everything that I have been given for 70 years of my life, and many of those years, those first couple of decades and beyond, I just disgraced myself before God. I was a son of God before the world began, right? He chose me before the world began. But I didn't respect that at all. And yet he has given me blessing upon blessing, and he has given me life and breath and vitality for 70 years now. And you, more than that in some cases. 80 years and so. How can we not be on our knees every day and thank him for the abundance that he has given me, that he has given us all the days of our life? And it's not over, right? It's still coming. Yeah, there's a lot of misery, there's a lot of discomfort, there's a lot of setbacks. You know it all. You know it better than most. But there's a lot of blessing. And that's all from our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And so, as one writer put it, I can best sum it up this way. I'm not my own, but now and eternally belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom I receive grace for grace. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to Jesus. You know the song. I belong to Jesus. That's what my life has been about ever since I became, ever since he opened my eyes. I couldn't get enough of him. I didn't know it. I didn't know at first that it was he that saved me, not my willpower or anything. I thought my willpower did it. I thought I was smart enough to make my own decision, and I made the right decision. I realized later on that that was not the case, but more and more it became evident to me when I first heard the Reformed faith preach on the radio. I couldn't believe my ears. Well, what? This is not what I thought. That God has his hand on me from my conception, and he was leading me, my life, in all the, you know, the facets of it, the vicissitudes and the happenings and the circumstances, and it all seemed so confused to me, but he was leading me to the point where I can now say with confidence and heart, I belong to him. He has done it all for me. He's led me all the way. And so let me never forget it, Lord. Let it never be taken away, because the devil wants that taken away. And other people, including Christians, want to take that away that perspective that you have given me. So let me never forget, Lord. Now, we don't deserve it, right? We don't deserve a blessing at all, any blessing, even material blessings. We certainly don't deserve spiritual blessings. But He gives it. Why? That's why I love Him. Because He first loved me. Imagine someone that does you wrong, that dishonors you, disrespects you, takes your wife or your child and kills him, takes your wife, rapes her and abuses her and kills your child, gets caught. And that person is found guilty. And you raise your hand and say, I will take his punishment. You wouldn't do that. It wouldn't be right for you to do that. That's what Jesus did. Right? We crucified him. We all did it. Our sin put him there. But God said, my son's going to take your place, you murderer, you liar, you blasphemer, you ungrateful, unthankful person. You come from an unthankful and ungrateful and perverse stock. But I'm going to do it for you. My son is going to sacrifice himself and take on your punishment you deserve. Who'd do that? God, right? That's why I love him. Why? Because he first loved me and gave himself up for me. And not only for me, but for my wife and for my children. It's amazing. So what can I do? What can I render to my God for all the benefits? Well, when you think about it, really, what can I? One person puts it, if I were to add a drop of water to a huge reservoir that is already full, what would that drop amount to? If I were to build, to hold a candle in the light of the sun, how much would that add to the sun's brightness? God is infinite. We can't add anything to him. We can't benefit him. Again, can a child in his father's arms lighten the burden of the father by carrying a package in his hand? Of course not. Everything is his. There's nothing we can do to benefit God. He benefits us. It's that desire to give myself, my all to him in gratitude and thankfulness. Lord, I know it's all you. You own the cattle on a thousand hills. You own the earth. You own everything and everyone. You give me the breath, the strength to breathe every single day. You give me the ability to heal the medicines and the surgeries and whatever you make available so that I can get better. You have done that all. You have provided it all. I can't benefit you in the slightest. but a thankful, grateful heart. A desire to give everything to you, Jesus Christ. My life, my all. What more can I give? I belong to Jesus. I will take up the cup of my salvation. Oh, that's interesting. The psalmist uses that term, cup. We just read it a little while ago. Psalm 23, my cup runneth over, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And he takes his sheep and he leads them to pastures green by the side of the still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his great name's sake. He walks me with me through the valley of the shadow of death. And this is the valley of the shadow. He's not, remember, I told you about the Psalm 23. It's not for the dead, it's for the living. I know we're used to using it at funerals, but it's really for the living. This is the valley of the shadow of death, the here and now in which we are dwell. The valley of tears is another way to put it. And God is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Surely he provides everything in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over with his blessings. His blessings that he is with me, that he is going to bring me from the cradle to the grave according to his plan and his purpose for me in this world and in the next in Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can prevent that. And so I take up the cup of my salvation. He has given me his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit dwells in me, enriches my life. He gives me the perspective I need to see God in the Scriptures speaking out, reaching out to me, and reaching out to me daily, giving me strength for the day and hope for the tomorrow, putting food on the table and clothes on my back and shelters me. It's God who has given me all these things and so much more. Every spiritual blessing. Everyone, not one of us lacks a spiritual blessing from God. All of them are given to each and every one of us in measure in Christ Jesus. That is the cup of salvation which the psalmist is to which the psalmist refers. Salvation, the Holy Spirit. All spiritual blessings, all physical blessings in this world, and preparing us for the next to give us, to glorify us in his presence, to make us perfect in soul, mind, body, spirit, to be able to sustain a look-see at Jesus Christ in his full glory. And not perish. And so I take up the cup of salvation. And I thank him. Greatly thank him. He gives me grace, especially, so that I can believe his word when all others do not, many others do not. And he gives me the grace of repentance so that I can turn from my sin on a daily basis. He gives me the grace to live a godly life, to want, to desire with all my heart to obey him, to obey his commandments. And probably most important of all, before we call upon the name of the Lord, which will kind of lead us into that last point, he gives me prayer. And as I said before, Jesus instructs, go into your private place. Speak to your Father privately, and He will reward you openly. He gives me a line of communication I never had before, but now I do. And so I will call upon His name. His name is wonderful. His name is majestic. His name is marvelous. As one writer put it, calling upon His name, God's marvelous handwriting inscribed with His autograph appears in the lofty mountain peaks, but also in the tiny snowflake. We see it in the splendor of the sunset, but also in the delicate beauty of the rose. His voice is heard in the rolling of the thunder, but also in the song of the tiny wren. How glorious, O Lord, is Thy name in all the earth. And we take up that name and call upon that name, that majestic name and excellent name in all the earth. It speaks to us everywhere. And we now can speak back. We can call upon Him in prayer. Direct line of communication with God through Jesus Christ. We have a lifeline to heaven now. Think about this. A child comes in from play, or comes in from school. You know, you've seen it, you've heard it, and says, "I'm hungry. Mom, I'm hungry." And what's the mother do? Sits that child down and gives them the best food she has. That's what the Father is like. He hears from us, His children, His child. "Father, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want Your grace. I want Your mercy. I want You to protect me. I want You to wrap Your arms around me." What do you think a father would do? A good father. He hears you and He responds. And I know you know that. You're alive and you're well. After all these years, that's not an accident. That's the Father who has taken care of you and has heard your cries and your prayers for so many times, for so long. Yeah, it's been rough. It's not an easy trip in this world because it's the valley of the shadow of death. It's the valley of tears. There's a curse upon the earth, and we're sinners all. But you go to Him as a faith, as a child, and He hears you, and He will give you everything. You can't ask too much too often. He is willing to be there always. And you know something else? This life is not enough for what He has in store, the blessings that He has in store for us. That's why there's an eternity for us. Because this world is not enough. He has so many blessings and so many good things to give us that an eternity is absolutely necessary for that to happen. And that's why there's an eternity for us. You have more blessings than you can possibly imagine. This world cannot sustain them. You need eternity. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, have that attitude, that gratitude, to render to God your entire life. Like I belong to Jesus. Everything about me is His now, is God's. I do it all for His glory in faith. And I will take up the cup of my salvation on a daily basis and run with it. And I will call upon the name of the Lord and thank Him all the time and praise His name. I will say, with the psalmist in the beginning of this psalm, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. Thank You for bringing us here today. Oh my, is it so nice to be here and with Your people. Lead us in the way everlasting for Your great name's sake. We pray in His name. Amen. We'll sing a final hymn and maybe we can just open up the doors there. You know, at the end, go out that door, whatever door you want. But let's close with hymn number 400.